Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I fell in love with your body and soul. My hands feel sticky and my head's eyes cold. My sugar tastes sour, my salt tastes sweet. I wanna lay down, but I just can't sleep. It's your voodoo.
We're back at the races. 25 into hour three. Looking ahead to the race day, and the sun keeps poking in and out. So okay day, and we're just gonna have to deal with, you know, this extended period of rain off and on. And we get summers like this. It's not the first, won't be the last. Dick Powell has seen these kinds of summers come and go. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. In 1994, I was working for NIRA, and it was a 34-day meet, and we had 23 days of rain, not just storms, rain. And it was unbelievable. The last couple of years have been spectacular. And I'm not saying this is normal, but if you average it all out, then it's kind of normal. And when I got hired by Alan Dragone, who was the chairman, one of the things that he liked was I told him you got to stop playing the numbers game. You know, you're up, you're down, whatever. And I said, you got to work on a five-year moving average. And in that five-year period, it will account for years like this year, 2 years before when everything was great. And then you have a better sense of where you should be, what's real growth, and things like that. So it's just, the weather, I mean, it's not just the weather stinks. This humidity is just killing me. I don't know how you walk around with a tie on and everything else. Every time I see you, I want to smack you. I'm like, I'm soaking wet.
Well, I'm a bit of a non-sweater, as it happens,
boy.
So I'm impervious.
I make up for it. this guy in the Mets, Jason Vargas, left hand that we spent money on, he stinks. But he sweats like Patrick Ewing. I mean, you see him in the game, it's like, how can this guy pitch in July? He's drenched, he's changing his shirt in the first inning. You know, Pat Ewing would go to the free throw line and it'd just be pouring off of him, you know, and which I can relate to. So it's been hot, yes, and the weather stinks.
That's the bottom line.
And it's driving us all crazy.
No.
The government's tricking over the weather.
Well, people, and people, I see people getting frustrated. You can't, you know. Somebody on Twitter today said they have to go to the all weather. It's like, shut up! You gotta go find another hobby. It's amazing to me the way the Chicken Little mentality. It's This happens. We play the game outdoors.
Well, my invention, you know, I have a little bit of Ralph Cramden in me, and my invention was the turf tarp. That there has to be a way, because you already have rail set up, so you have anchors, to have a turf tarp that doesn't, like, lay across and hold all the water, but could have, like, almost like a roof line in the middle, and the water would just drain off to the side. That's my invention. The first windy day, that would be the end of the invention, but, you know, I think we should look into it.
I like it. Why not?
It's like Ralph Cramden, you go way back, him and Norton were talking about like diet pizza or something years ago. Well, it sounded crazy back then, but now we've got
gluten-free, and we got that's a good point.
Pretty funny.
Well, you wrote a piece that I want you to flesh out for people that haven't. We'll talk about Presque Isle in a minute, but you're almost at the halfway point, and you had a bit of a summary, this portion of the meet. And I said to Pete Fornatel yesterday, leading into this, it really has been tough to gain continuity, in part because of the weather, and also in part as a corollary to, you know, the ambient conditions. The racetrack has been very much in flux, the main track. I mean, we've seen some things from it that we don't see too often, and that has been part of the intrigue.
Yeah, early in the meet, the main track was crazy. I mean, what was it? 12 claimers going 6.5 and 114. We had 120 and change going 7. And then that was like within the first 10 days. And then they seem to have added cushion to the track, or the track's definitely different, not as fast, which is good. As long as it's safer, I'm all in favor of it. So the issue is, like yesterday, I liked the horse in the third race, Kid Croft, and he ran terrible. But part of it was they have a forecast for showers, so they're keeping that main track pretty tight. Well, mm-hmm. That was helping speed yesterday, with the exception of Rosario getting up at the wire in that one sprint race. You know, speed was pretty hard to top yesterday. So if you're stalking the pace, you're in trouble. Now, it's not raining. Not yet, anyway. But it's still day-to-day, race-to-race. There's some dramatic changes. If you get Glenn Kozak on, can you ask him why the tractors now go the wrong way? Every day they come around clockwise instead of counterclockwise.
Yeah, he's been back raking.
Yeah, oh, and back sealing, back raking, back everything, and I don't know what that means. I sit there and watch it, and I'm thinking, well, they're going the other way. It got to help closes, you know. They're running uphill now. So I just you just get nuts with trying to keep track of when this horse ran. What was it? What were the conditions when that horse ran? The turf courses were lush and perfect at the beginning of the meet, and they're absorbing a lot of moisture. I did read we've gotten 6 inches of rain since the meet began, and that's not even counting yesterday or last night. So yesterday, when they did run, I can't remember which race, probably the seventh race, and definitely the quick call, the turf that was getting kicked up was just amazing. I mean, if you were in behind and one of those clods came out, you had to duck, because mm-hmm. they could knock the jockey right off a horse. So the turf courses are not only tough ground to race over, but, you know, they're doing a lot of damage when they're racing over it. So I know everyone says, oh, what's the big deal? How come they can't race? And Nick Luck is not my favorite person after his Eclipse Award performance. He's saying on Saturday, well, in Oscar, we would just go, you know, when the Whitney, Thunder and Lightning and everything else. He says, oh, if this was the Royal Oscar, we would just let them go. You know, okay, that's nice. But the average fan sees, like, a nice day, and how come we're not on the turf? But they have no idea how much damage horses' hooves go in and how hard it is to get the course back, not only to where it's firm, but safe, because all those holes
exactly.
have, you know, present problems. So you'll see horses bobbling. You'll see a head go down. And it's just shows you the ground. So yesterday, the quick call was a perfect example of that because they were chewing it. No, the rail was out 18 feet, so that helped. And what I got a kick out of was when Dirty broke through the gate. When the rail's out at 18 feet, there's no room, and he had to go down. And Jose had him under control, but he had to go down, and they had to open the rail. Luckily, someone was standing there where they normally come back after the race to go back on the dirt, back to the winner's circle. Because I see him on the main track going back to the gate. I'm like, how the heck did he get out there? So I rewound the tape. Oh, that, all right, that makes sense. So this weather, just the good thing is I've been patient. People ask me, who do you like? And I'm like, I haven't done any work. I just haven't. I'm not working 2-3 days in advance anymore. I'm basically just writing columns, and I don't do the Briss Saratoga sheet anymore, which used to, you know, I used to have me and Liffin at the earliest deadlines in racing. So that part is good, that I'm not getting stuck with horses that are racing over dramatically different conditions. So at least when I go to the races, I know what today's conditions are. I'm trying to keep track of what the other conditions were when they raced the last time out, and hopefully can put something together. And, you know, I've had a good meet, and hopefully the work will lead to a good second half of the meet.
What have you been cashing on, Dick? Is there a theme or a cohesive approach that is working?
No.
It's just poaching and being, you know, being able to kind of bob and weave.
Well, the other day, my play today that I do on OTB TV, and I have it at the end of my blog, The Daily Diary. American Power drew outside. He's a closer, and every single race that day was outside closes. So, you know, you don't have to explain it to me. I know he's 8-5, but I made a big, big win bet on him because I thought in those circumstances he was the perfect horse for this course. So if I see something like that, I try to hit it hard. The others, I'm not that confident. I did hit a nice pick five. I did have a pick five going for $7,000, and I needed a 3-5 Chad Brown turf horse to cash $7,500. And he ran third, so that would have been a real good meet. But no, I just trying to stay flexible, and when they come off the turf, just start anew. And I like wet track handicap, and I big on pedigrees, and I have my own theories on pedigrees. So I don't mind wet tracks. When I was living in New York City, when I grew up in New York City, you'd wait for a day where it rained to go to Aqueduct because you knew speed was going to do well and you knew the turf was going to be soft. So you got front runners winning on dirt and closers winning on turf. And, you know, I used to enjoy that.
Nice. This is the method, acquiring knowledge and applying it. You just keep, you know, to layers of understanding and developing, like you say, developing theories or pedigree, certain nuances, certain names that register with you, and applying them appropriately, that goes a long way, no doubt.
Now, the great thing about Presque Isle Downs is I don't have to worry about any of this. I don't have to worry about turf, but the one-day Penn National had the close, Presque Isle race, the Tapita handled the water no problem. The track is remarkably consistent, and the horses that do well over it continue to do well over it.
Right.
It's not something where you just happen to catch this kind of track and your horse had the right kind of traction for its running style. And what a lot of people understand with horses is, and not that we can show this or explain it very well, but horses get their power from their hind end, and if they reach up underneath and they're not feeling secure, they're not going to stride the way they should. So it's not just the front legs coming out, it's the power from the back legs. And when they feel secure, then they'll propel, and you'll see that in a turf race. A horse just take giant strides, and that means that they feel totally secure with the footing. When they don't, they tend to shorten stride because it's, you know. So with Prescott, luckily, these are less factors, and therefore I can focus more on horses, trips, you know, performances, speed figures, things like that, and I don't have to have the context of track conditions and changes and things like that as much. And it's one reason why I really enjoy doing the Prescott races, because it's just different, and I like the consistency, and we got a couple for tonight.
Let's go. Give us some ideas.
Okay, race one, we're going to kick off with Sources and Methods. The rider here, Angel Stanley, only has 21 mounts this year, and I think only one winner, but he was the leading rider at Mahoney Valley, and he has experience, so you're not getting some young kid that doesn't know how to ride. He rode this one last time out in one going 6.5, stretches out to a two-turn mile, but gets the rail, and if you look at his form, he's won going two turns before on dirt, especially against allowance foes at Parks last year. So he has backlash going two turns. He's had four starts at Presque Isle, all sprints, and ran very well. He's not headstrong. He's not a need-to-lead type. But I think he can certainly save ground in the opener. 7-2 morning line. That looks pretty good for me. The favorite is Black Tie Event with Eddie Dominguez. You know, he'll be tough, but I think we can save ground, and that might be the difference. And then race eight, the last race of the day, actually the last race of the week, I like number five, Global Warm Me. Willie Martinez rides. Willie's had a good year. This one was second last time out. And one of the notes I make on my program when I'm doing handicapping is, especially one-turn races, horses that drew the rail, they don't break particularly sharp. Not that they're in traffic all the time, but they're kind of in tight quarters. So Global Warm Me was second beating a length from the rail last time, going 6.5. Now he draws a much better post in post five, and I think Eddie Dominguez can get that one home in the last race. So very quickly, Morales is the leading rider, Gallardo second. No surprise there. That seems to be the case week in, week out. They basically win 25%. Of all their mounts, it's just that Gallardo rides out of town 1 or 2 days a week. What's interesting is the next 6 or 7 jockeys are all within 10 wins. Scott Spieth, Willie Martinez, Hubert Villagomez, Ron Allen Jr., Ariel Alaya, Eddie Dominguez are all like bunched in a group, mid-teens win percentages. And then when you go over to the trainers, Teresa Connolly is pulled away from Jerry Brooks. She has 35. Jerry has 30. They're both winning 22%. But then you see some interesting things underneath. Ron Potts has 20 winners, but 30% at the meet. Glenn Wismer, 19 winners, 26%. And then you go down. Matt Kintz has had a big meet, and he's still winning at 30%. Ed Rojas is winning at 31%. So yes, Morales, Gallardo, Connolly, Brooks, those are the ones that tend to get bet every race. And then it's that next group where you might be able to make some money, because they're not getting played as much as the leading trainers and the leading jocks. But especially these trainers are winning pretty good percentages. They just don't have as many starters as Teresa Connolly and Jerry Brooks have. So that's where we are. We don't have any stake races next week. We do have a stake race coming up the following week. I'll remind everyone next Tuesday. And it's not going to be long before we get to the Presque Isle Mile and the Presque Isle Masters.
Absolutely.
Not that far away.
Well, the Masters, very much a, and I would think particularly this year going to Churchill, be a nice bellwether for the filly and mare sprint. It served as a great prep since its inception, really. Dick, I appreciate it. We will see you out there, and continued success.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Dick Powell, everybody. Let's take a quick break and come right back with Rich Ang. We'll spend the last 15 minutes this morning with Rich, and maybe he can make heads or tails of this Maiden 32 at Del Mar tonight. 8:33 post Eastern time, 5:33 Pacific, and it's 10 horses in search of a diploma And boy, oh boy, it is a bit of a mystery. The high five in here, I have no idea. But there's 134,000 carrying over, 2 days, high five carryover. See what Rich thinks and get some other ideas from him on the day. Appreciate Dick giving us some press Kyle tonight. And for those that didn't write it down, he'd like the one in the first and the five in the eighth. There you go. Back after this, we'll wrap it up on this increasingly sunny Thursday. Upstate New York, Saratoga. HRRN this afternoon. You can look forward to coverage from 3 o'clock on. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, that's top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 10 minutes, 12 minutes to fill out. It's been a fun Thursday and a good race day. A little impact of weather with those four races off the turf, but still should make for a challenging sequence here in this pick six. I'll have the final six races posted just a couple of minutes after we get off the air, and not before we visit with Rich Ang. And, of course, the author of Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies and RaceDayLasVegas.com, Rich Yang for Pro Pick. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. And, on this side of the country, somebody got real happy yesterday after the pick six at Telmark. One winning ticket for $432,000. Holy smokes. I can't even imagine how that would feel.
It was not a surprise that it came down to this. John White on Tuesday, Rich, he made a bit of a commitment, saying that he thought there was every chance for that sequence to carry another day, and he wasn't far wrong.
Oh no, he wasn't. It took an implausible looking horse in the last race. In fact, the two favorites in the eighth race at Del Mar yesterday, they dueled each other into submission, and all of a sudden you see this cavalry charge, and I look up at the screen and I see they're both 19-1 shots. So either one was going to be a $40 horse, and they're just ding-donging down the stretch, and somebody had it. Somebody had it, a unique ticket. So God bless that person for making $432,000.
Well, and John gave that horse out on Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How'd you go 19-1?
Yeah.
Your listeners are pretty strong.
and
wow,
we've gotten
a hell of a pick.
Yeah. We got a couple of people that were delighted. And it's funny, too, because it did not look like a race where those kinds of horses were going to be as impactful as they were. I mean, it's one of those scenarios where if you're looking even for C horses, Rich, as backups, it was a sequence where you weren't going to be able to be too defensive with those kinds of horses. And especially what happened in the feature, where you pretty much had to buy that race and use all six to be absolutely guaranteed to get through. And the fact that Divisor ends up winning as the second longest price, although there were four horses at 9-2 and two at 7-2. I mean, when have you ever seen that?
Yeah, probably the last time I was at the Fronton. It's a highlight on.
Nice. I love it. Well, it was a daunting sequence, and today at Saratoga, we do have the first leg and the last leg off the turf. Doesn't help a whole lot in either case. The nightcap at Saratoga is just as murky as the one at Del Mar, and I'd love for you to share your thoughts on the eighth race. 134,000, super high five carryover, and takes a certain kind of player to approach the super high five seriously. And when you've got a group like this, I mean, what are you relying on as an indice? You've got Firster from Owen Hardy, and then you've got a bunch of second timers. You got a Firster from Mike Makowski, who's actually struggled at the meet, looking for his first win. And after that, I mean, it's a nondescript bunch.
Well, the eighth came off, right? Is one of the races that came off the grass.
No, I mean at Del Mar, Rich. You got the super high five carryover.
Oh, okay. Let me switch over there. I was actually, I tell you what, before I do that, I have my Saratoga form open.
Sure.
Let me give out my Saratoga play, and it is a surface switch pick. But in race number three, the 5.5 furlongs on the grass, it's come off, so it's on the main track, and that leads me to the number six horse, Surface Strike, for Michelle Nevins, 9-2 in the morning line. But I really don't think that price is going to hold up with going on to the main track. This horse has a lot of speed. She just claimed this horse. I really think this horse will be on the engine with Manny Franco. So that'll be my Saratoga release, race number three, the six, Surface Strike.
Nice.
Go wire to wire there.
I like it. How about
as far as the as far as the last race, I mean, it's really kind of a wide open race. I think the I mean, you have a favorite like the 6 Palladium in the morning line at 5-2, but this horse was 30-1 last time out and takes a little drop in class for Keith DeSarmo. So you can't have much confidence in a horse like that. I know my top choice in the race was the number 5, Boisterous Boy. I'm a big Steve Miotti fan. He's an excellent trainer. He's one of those conditioners from Northern California that are migrating to the South, and these fellas can obviously train very, very well. And one thing that stuck out to me about Miotti's horse is the second time off the second time start. This horse kind of ran, just kind of like ran evenly in the debut at Los Alamitos, but I love the rider switch to Heriberto Figueroa. He's been a hot riding apprentice at this meet, so I think it's a real positive jockey switch. And the second time out, the Racing Form stat is 22% winner. It made in second start, and there is not much in this race, Steve. So 5-1 in the morning line, I'm going to give the 5 horse Boisterous Boy a shot to upset.
And fill out a couple. I mean, who else, if you key off of a horse like that, then where do you go to fill out a high 5 play?
Well, you know, the 6 probably you got to throw in because the race really, the ones who have started are so slow that, you know, if this horse just kind of chugs along under Santiago Gonzalez, could certainly get into the vertical, but not real thrilled with that horse. I guess maybe the 8 Flashy Shack is an interesting horse. I'm a big fan of Bray and Pena. He doesn't get a lot of work, but the races that I've seen him ride and when he had his bug, I thought he was pretty talented as far as, you know, letting a horse just settle and making one run. He loves to come from the back, and this is the kind of horse for Scott Rollins that I could see Pena sitting middle of the pack, and all of a sudden in the last part of the race he starts passing tired horses. So I thought the 8 Flashy Shack is a horse you have to use. And maybe another horse that might be interesting too is the 4 horse, the Creep. 7-2 in the morning line, Doug O'Neill with Evan Roman. Here's a kid who, when he lost his bug, he got hurt, and he's kind of disappeared off the face of the earth, but he's trying to regain his business. And you know he's really hungry, and he's trying so hard on every race. And this horse debuted in a $150,000 maiden claiming, which nobody was going to get claimed out of that race. So, you know, dropping it to 32, it is what it is. But the interesting angle here on the ownership, Steve, is this horse is partly owned by the hockey player Johnson, and the gal down at Gulfstream Park, I don't know if I'm going to mess up her name, is it Acacia Courtney?
Mm-hmm.
But she's
Acacia.
Also a part owner of this horse, too. So interesting ownership group on the 4, the Creep, the hockey player and the beauty queen.
Yeah, and Doug, too. Doug's got a piece as well. This one, and
if Doug O'Neill, knowing his sense of humor, we could right there say the Beauty and the Beast as part of the owners. He'd probably get a chuckle out of it.
Nice. Well, then we'll call it 5684 for you, and then probably all for that 5th slot.
Yeah, that guarantees you're going to get the last one. That's for sure. But it's really a difficult race. You got to, you know, one thing that your listeners will have an advantage of over us just talking about it right now is when you get right before the race, at least you can see if anybody possibly might be a hot horse on the board. You'll certainly want to see the first action of the win odds and maybe just dive a little bit into the probable pool and see if somebody is hidden live maybe in the double or the pick 3, if maybe someone had taken some money in one of the hidden pools.
Absolutely.
Shed some light on this. There's always ways to be like a detective to try to figure out some pieces of the puzzle.
And no doubt. And, you know, just also thumbing through some Andy Harrington opinions, and that'll help you as well. Want to look at the firsters and agreed. The board will tell you a few stories. Rich, I appreciate it. Little Saratoga action and super high 5 carryover at Del Mar. You can acquire Rich's opinions. RacedayLasVegas.com and use Rich's direction. Feather it in with your own opinion and go to town. Del Mar. Rich, thanks a lot. We'll talk next week.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Good luck, everybody.
Rich Eng. Rich Eng for ProPick on Twitter. Going to head out, send you into the race day. Want to thank Joe Applebaum. Really, really a valuable, I thought, conversation. If you're thinking about any kind of involvement in the game. Tony Black, Steve Askin, Rich Eng, as always, and Dick Powell thrown in, too. We'll save Quigley for some opinions tomorrow. Hammer's on his way home. I saw Hammer last night as we were leaving the pavilion. I saw him literally when he walked into Saratoga a few days ago, and literally as he was getting ready to leave. kind of funny. We have a full edition of Weekend Preview tomorrow, and that'll include Chicago, of course. Ed DeRosa is going to be there, and Marty McGee, Marcus Hirsch, Nick Tamaro's in town, so we're going to do plenty of Saratoga. Hammer and Quigley. Hammer's going to be at Del Mar, so it should be fun. I'll have the final action up momentarily at the website for the Saratoga carryover sequence. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow morning. If you missed anything, SiriusXM replay tomorrow, 6 to 9, or at the website, archive, podcast, etc. And if you had tried to get yesterday's show, Case reloaded this morning, reloaded the archive. It was playing the Tuesday show. So it's fixed. All right. Good luck. Talk to you tomorrow.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.